We might have been neighbors, but when it came to CDEs, we were rivals. When I moved to the University of Arkansas, I finally discovered that my biggest rival in high school wasn't too bad after all. And now we're the best of friends. She is the smartest person I know and most determined. I am so proud of her service and dedication to the National FFA organization this year.
She has been like a big sister to me. And though we sometimes fight like sisters, I really look up to her. FFA members, I am proud to introduce for her retiring address titled When I Grow Up, my aunt and your 2014-2015 National FFA Secretary, Victoria Malik.
Well, I wish I had a short-term memory. Wish the only thing my eyes could see was the future burning bright right in front of me. But I can't stop looking back. Yeah, I wish I was a perfect picture of somebody who's never not good enough. Well, I try to measure up, but I mess it up. And I wish I was.
What do you want to be when you grow up? I can remember being asked that question before I even started elementary school. I'd be willing to bet that every single person in this auditorium has been asked that question at least once in their life. However, when I was little, I always had the perfect response. Not only would I respond that I wanted to be a singer when I grew up, more often than not, I would hop on top of the showbox or any other nearby surface and proudly belt out, "Did I Shave My Legs for This?" by Dina Carter. Probably not the song you expected from a four-year-old. But I was going to be a star, and nothing you told me could have convinced me otherwise. You know, it seems as soon as a person is old enough to talk, we deem them old enough to tell us what they want to be when we grow up. And while it's super fun to hear about all the firefighting ballerinas and the superheroes there's going to be one day, this question is being pushed upon us in a much more real way now. We are being asked earlier and earlier to make decisions about our future and choose classes that pertain to our career path, barely after we've discovered that, you know, most boys actually aren't gross and not all girls have cooties. You know, with so much cultural fascination surrounding this question, what do you want to be when you grow up? We might think that it holds the secret to life. You know, find a career field we like, get a job in that field, and that's it. But is that really the point of life? Shouldn't there be more? What if, instead of asking ourselves what we want to be when we grow up, we ask ourselves who we want to be when we grow up? Now, the answer to that question isn't simple or easy. In fact, it's quite hard. To discover our answer, we have to go on a journey to discover our purpose, search for meaning in everyday moments, and learn to maneuver the hard times we encounter. Only then will we know who we want to be. Earlier this year, my teammates and I got to go to Japan and visit with the Future Farmers of Japan. Each of us got to go home with an FFJ member and become immersed in the culture. For 3 days, my homestay sister Hanako's family became my own. And time with Hanako and her family, it was wonderful. But it really didn't start out that way. You see, when I was introduced to Hanako, she told me that she lived with her mother and her father and her grandmother, her two sisters, and 27 cats. That's right, 27 cats. What had I just gotten myself into? This was not what I signed up for. As we made our way to the car and I loaded my suitcases, I wasn't sure how these next 3 days were going to go. I mean, 27 cats? That's a lot, and I even like cats. And we couldn't even speak the same language. How in the world were we going to communicate for the next 3 days? Thankfully, once we got to her house, I realized that 27 cats was actually just a miscommunication lost in translation. And in fact, there were only 7 cats in the house. Dodged a bullet with that one, didn't I? And on the second day, we even figured out how I could type in Hanako's phone in English, and it would translate to Japanese. It still wasn't easy, though. Sometimes I would find myself just caught up in this game of charades just to ask a question as simple as, "Where's the bathroom?" Sometimes I'd become so flustered that I'd just give up and smile, feeling as though I could do nothing else. At the end of the 3 days, as I packed up my things and we headed back to the school to meet up with my teammates, I thought about that experience. You know, had I done the right things? Had I said the right things? In case you haven't noticed, I'm a worrywart, and I really worry about all those things. But I also kind of worried about, had I made a good impression, and did my being there even matter? Once we got to the school, we said our goodbyes and prepared to leave. Just then, my homestay mother handed me a note. In her note, she wrote, "It was a little difficult for us to communicate in English with you, and there were so many things that we wanted to say or do. Our apologies that we couldn't do all. You smiled all the time, and it made us happy." You know, going to Japan, I knew that I was going to learn about the culture and the people and the agriculture. But in a tiny house in the Aichi Prefecture of Japan, I would learn so much more. I learned that raw fish tastes way better when you cover it with wasabi and drown it in soy sauce. I learned that just because you can't speak the same language doesn't mean you can't communicate. Thank goodness for cell phone translation apps and lots of charades. And I learned that sometimes a smile says everything. That note showed me what I had been there for. It wasn't to be the perfect house guest and say the right things. It was to be who I am, someone that is welcoming and helps make life easier for others. I had forgotten my purpose, and it took a lot of miscommunication and mishaps to help me realize that. When I was in Japan, I learned that there is a word for purpose. That word is ikigai, but it takes on a much larger meaning than just purpose. It translates into a reason for being. Everyone, according to the Japanese, has an ikigai. Finding it requires a deep and lengthy search of yourself. This search is regarded as very important because finding your ikigai brings satisfaction and meaning to life. Wow. All of that from just one word. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that ikigai holds so much more to the secret of life than asking ourselves what we want to be when we grow up. Before we can live our lives in a meaningful way, we must first know our purpose. We have to discover why we were placed on this earth. Surely, we are here to do something more than just take up space. What is the meaning behind your existence? What is your reason for being? Besides going to Japan, I've gotten to do a lot of traveling this year. And let me tell you, this hotel one night, one hotel the next, everything blurred together. Sometimes I'd have a flight to Arizona one day and then a flight to Connecticut a few days later. Sometimes it was just a blur. But there's one travel day, man, let me tell you, it stands out from the rest. And maybe not so much in a good way at first. You see, it started off fairly normal. I walked through security, took my shoes off, put my laptop in the bin, got a free pat-down from TSA, you know, the normal things. As I was heading to my gate, I found a seat. Sitting there waiting, about 30 minutes before we were supposed to board, came the dreaded announcement. My plane had been delayed. Of course, every flight I've gone on this year seems like it's been delayed. But this delay was a little different than normal. Apparently, get this, the tires needed changed on my plane. Apparently they had taken just a little too much wear and tear and it was time for some new ones. As I waited for the tires to be changed, I decided that, you know what, I just wanted to lay down. So I took my suitcase and I positioned it just right and I lay down on the floor using it as a headrest. Once we were finally able to board the plane, I found my seat pretty quickly. I was towards the front by this point, you know, score for frequent flyer miles and 3 extra inches of leg room. As I saw the passengers get on, I could hear the flight attendants preparing for the flight. I could tell something was wrong. As those last few passengers were trickling on, I heard the flight attendants telling a lady with a thick Polish accent that was very distressed that her bag was going to have to be checked all the way to her final destination of Warsaw, Poland, because there was no more overhead bin space. Seeing how much this distressed my fellow passenger, I called her over and I called the flight attendant over and I said, you know what, I'll just check my bag, it's no big deal. And I let her put her bag in its spot. Once we landed, I got to the baggage claim, I picked up my suitcase and went outside. Waiting for my ride, I sat down on my suitcase, which appropriately is named Big Bertha, and I waited. And I thought about all the crazy things that had happened that day. I was really, 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 really hoping that none of my travel days would be that crazy ever. And I've actually thought about that day a lot since then, and it really didn't dawn on me until recently that, you know, the crazy tire changing delay and the passenger from Poland is not the highlight of that story. It's my suitcase. My suitcase has been the one constant that has gotten me through all of the crazy mishaps this year. My suitcase has been a cup holder, a headrest, a footrest, a place to lay my food, a table for my books, and a blessing for those that needed the overhead bin space. While obviously my suitcase has an overall purpose of carrying my clothes, you know, it's done so much more. It has served different purposes in different moments. And the same's true for us. While we all have an overarching purpose for our life, we can each find different purposes hidden away in everyday moments. I saw this lived out by members all across the country this year as my suitcase carried me to different places. It carried me to North Carolina, where I met Mary Kate Morgan. Mary Kate found purpose in a moment when her friend's brother was diagnosed with cancer, and she brought Kids Walk for Kids with Cancer to North Carolina. It carried me to Illinois, introducing me to Justin Myers. Justin finds purpose in a moment as he serves as his section's reporter and goes above and beyond, interviewing people and communicating section news and putting together an outstanding newsletter. It carried me to Oklahoma, where I hung out with Kinsey Corbett. Kinsey found purpose in a moment by going out of her way to make me feel welcome and teach me the traditions of the Oklahoma FFA alumni camp. And just a few weeks ago, it carried me to Missouri, where I met A.J. Windmeyer. A.J. was once a very shy person, but he finds purpose in moments by sharing his passion for music and his musical talents just to brighten others' days. Finding purpose in every moment is often finding service in every moment. Each of these members saw an opportunity to serve others by sharing their talents, and in doing so, they found a purpose. The more we come to view these everyday opportunities as moments to find purpose, the better we will be able to understand and fulfill our life's overarching purpose. We all have been given talents and gifts. We cannot forget to seek out those opportunities to serve others with them. How are you using your gifts to serve others? Are you finding purpose in the everyday moments? One person who always found purpose in every moment was my ag teacher. Let me tell you, when the senior class needed help fundraising, she was the go-to fundraising expert. When there was prom decorations that needed built, oh man, she would open up the shop and help build them. When there was a dog loose in town, they'd call her up and she'd hop in the truck and she would become the resident dog catcher. And when my town needed a new mayor, well, she became the mayor. You name it, my ag teacher did it. Even with all of this going on, my ag teacher took the time to help me discover my passions and my purpose. And she sometimes challenged me when I got a little too far ahead of myself. Her guidance in high school shaped who I am and how I interact with others. I am so grateful for the experiences we shared together, but I never really verbalized that to her. Between her busy schedule and mine, I always just delayed going to see her when I was on home time. She shaped who I am, and I wouldn't be standing on this stage without her. But I always put off going and sharing this experience with her, putting it off for tomorrow. But then one day, tomorrow was no longer an option. I had just finished the Missouri State Convention, felt like I had finally hit my stride with my keynote and workshops, and had a ton of fun with the Missouri FFA members and state officer team. I was flying high. But then I realized that I had several missed text messages and calls on my phone. Without reading my text messages, I returned the most recent phone call from my team leader, Mr. Back. Have you been on Facebook today? I thought this was a really weird way to start a conversation, so I quizzically replied, no. Why? He said, well, I'd rather you hear this from me than find out on social media. Miss Victoria, I'm sorry to tell you this, but your ag teacher died this morning. And standing alone after we hung up that phone, the weight of what he told me hit all at once. And surrounded by 14,000 empty auditorium seats, I cried. I cried for the loss of my ag teacher, for her friends and family, her students back at home, and of not telling her just how much she meant to me. In this moment of pain and hurt, I found a purpose. Throughout the rest of the year, I tried to be very intentional in verbally expressing my appreciation for those that have meant a lot to me. I found a purpose of living and showing appreciation in the moment, not putting it off for another day. But I know what some of you are thinking. My life is too difficult and too hard to worry about this. And so often we just want to close our eyes when things get hard. But as much as I closed my eyes and hoped that it wasn't true, this wasn't going away. There was no going back to the way things were. But if we are bold enough to open our eyes in these moments, we will find purpose in even the roughest of times that we go through. The more we come to view these times as opportunities to find purpose, the more we will make our lives matter. But I know some of you are thinking, you know what? Things are crazy at my house, and there's so much going on. I don't have time to find my purpose. I'm just doing my best to get by. But I want you to know that I've thought those same thoughts. I've been there. I want you to know that whatever hard time you're facing, you have a purpose. To the students that don't know where to go, what to do, or who to be, you have a purpose. To the students that have been told they will never amount to anything, you have a purpose. To the students that would rather stay here or anywhere else rather than face life at home, you have a purpose. To the students that are picked on and bullied and think they don't matter, you have a purpose. To every student, advisor, chaperone, and guest in this audience, you have a purpose. And that purpose can be found in this blue jacket. The more I've thought and reflected on the role that my ag teacher played in my life, the more I've realized that she was a wonderful example of living out a purpose. She was a selfless leader that gave of her time and her talents and her treasures just to serve others. And while somewhere along the way she decided she wanted to be an ag teacher, she always knew who she wanted to be. She wanted to be somebody to lean on for those that had no one. Regardless of the occupation my ag teacher chose, she would have done just that. Because it wasn't what she wanted to be, it was who she wanted to be. Unlike our culture that is fascinated with what you want to be when you grow up, that's not the question being asked today. Who do you want to be today, tomorrow, and forever? As we get on our buses and board our planes to leave convention tomorrow, we know our final destination. We have to know where we're going before we can get where we want to be. Do you know where you're going in life? What sort of person are you going to be? Do you even know who you are now? Knowing our life's purpose allows us to live our lives intentionally. When we find meaning in everyday moments, it brings significance to what we do. And when those moments are hard, it shows us what we're really made of. We can make our lives matter, but first we must know and understand our purpose. Will you seize the opportunity to live out your life's purpose, or will you let time pass you by and your life fill with meaningless interactions? We only get one shot at this thing called life. Who do you want to be when you grow up?